See, the other day, a friend of mine said something to me that really struck me. She said, you know, when your schedule, your agenda is overwhelming, there's a good chance that your soul is underwhelmed. You know, I don't know about you, but there's days when I think, how do you get it all done? And even when there's not that many duties to do or things to accomplish, doesn't your brain just keep running sometimes? I mean, it's just like it never shuts off, and it's just like one thing after another just hitting you, and you try and get your hands on it, but you can't. I've heard it said that that's what's called flypaper mind. Because you've gone beyond sort of that lizard brain where it's just fight or flee, but you haven't gotten fully out of that yet because you're just still trying to somehow keep all the balls in the air and get everything done so that somehow at the end of the day you can say, oh, I'm still me. But is that really living? I mean, I'll be upfront with you. I don't call it flypaper mind. You know what I call it? I call it multitasking, because that makes me feel better about myself. And yet I'm still in that whirlwind, that tornado that sometimes, you know, life has for me. I'm still in that place. And it kind of gives me, if you want the truth, and I don't think some of you at least aren't too far from me, to be honest, it gives you a rush. You know, when you have a lot to get done in a day, even though you're tired at the end of the day, don't you kind of feel like, I did it? It's almost addictive. You feel that sense of power. That's really not power. You just got a list accomplished, but you feel powerful because somehow, I can do it. You know, I thought about that when I looked at the story of Zacchaeus today. Now, everybody probably knows the story of Zacchaeus. If you were raised in the church, you all had a coloring book that had Zacchaeus climbing a tree in it. Let's put it on the line here. That's the way it worked all those years when we were growing up. And I want to look at this story, and I'm going to use it figuratively almost more than I looking at it literally. But let me give you this story. The story of Zacchaeus is this. Jesus is coming into Jericho. He's coming into Jericho. It's not at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's the end of Jesus' ministry. So Jesus is pretty well known. Zacchaeus, who is the chief tax collector and rich, and as the chief tax collector, I mean, let's just say he hasn't made a whole lot of friends in Israel at that point because he's really sold himself out to the Romans. But he wants to see who Jesus is. He wants to find out who Jesus is. Now, the one place that I can really relate to this story is Zacchaeus is short in stature. And the crowds have come up to line up all along the road that Jesus is coming down, and Zacchaeus can't get through the crowd. So what does he do? He runs a little bit ahead, he climbs a sycamore tree, and he gets up in the branches to look out and look down. You know, it's funny. Because to see Jesus in his life, he's got to get above the crowd. I don't think that's too far from sometimes what I have to do. I got to get above the crowd of my life, my schedule, my agenda. But he has a desire within himself, something innate, I think, that Zacchaeus says, I just want to see him. I want to see who this is. I want to connect. And so he climbs a tree. I don't know about you, but you know, when I was growing up as a little boy, climbing a tree was a lot of fun. Coming down wasn't as much fun sometimes. And it's a lot easier to climb a tree than to come down from a tree, isn't it? You don't know where your foot's going, but when you're going up, you kind of feel your way. But coming down, sometimes you're just dangling that one leg, saying, ooh, where's next going to go? I know it should be there. So he climbs a tree to get above the crowd. And then he's got to go where he's got to come down, because what happens while he's up in the tree, Jesus sees him. Jesus sees him. He doesn't just see who Jesus was. Jesus sees him, and he calls him by name. Isn't that funny? Here, Zacchaeus didn't know who he was, but obviously Jesus knew who he was. And he calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm going to have dinner at your house tonight. And Zacchaeus begins to come down the tree. You know, when you come down the tree of your life, Even though you might have gotten above the crowdedness of your life, you still got to go through the crowd again, don't you? But when you come down from the tree after seeing God, after seeing Jesus, in a sense, you make your way through the crowdedness in a different way. It tells us very clearly that the crowd isn't really kind to him. They aren't kind to Jesus, and they aren't kind to him. They basically say, look at this man. This man, Jesus, he's going to have dinner with a sinner. And it doesn't say that just the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It says all the people did that. Can you imagine how lonely Zacchaeus must have felt most of his life? He might have made a lot of money, but he climbed that ladder to the top, and there he was, probably at the top, one of the most wealthy people in Jericho, but one of the most despised people in Jericho. You know, I've often heard it said that sometimes in our life, as we try and pursue our lives, we go and we try and climb the ladder. But when we get to the top of the ladder, if we really look at things right, we found out we placed the ladder against the wrong wall. And you have to come down to really encounter God. To really come to be who you're called to be, you encounter God. It's not by accomplishment that you are. As you've heard me say in past weeks, that's the false self. That's not the true self. The true self is you being connected with the Creator who made you. Zacchaeus comes down and goes through the crowd again, even though he's despised, even though he's maligned, even though Jesus is maligned. And in the midst of it, something happens. Because no longer does he see life in the same way after he encounters Jesus. He sees it in a different way. He says, I'll give away half of my income, everything I have, I'll give half of it away to the poor. And if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to pay him back four times what I owe. I'm going to try and get my life in order. Because now that I have this thing called a relationship with you, Jesus, I don't want to lose that relationship with you. Jesus says very clearly, today, salvation has come to this house. You're whole again. Because I came, the Son of Man, to seek the lost and to bring him home. And this man is a son of Abraham. You know, when I look at my own life, I wonder sometimes, you know, how hard I have it at getting above the crowdedness of my life. You ever do that? How full is your life? You ever feel overwhelmed? And you might say, well, it's, you know, I've got everything managed. I'm retired now. But, you know, how many of you worry a lot? How many of you in this day and age, in this country, think, oh, my God, everything's falling apart? No matter whether you're on the right or on the left, it really doesn't matter. Everybody's feeling like it's falling apart. And yet it's in that very place that all of a sudden, who are we supposed to get above to see what's truly going on? We've got to get above the crowd, the crowdedness of our own mind sometimes, to look to find that spiritual connection, that place that was created for God to be in our life that so often we crowd out. Thomas Merton once said, he said, you know what, when you have a false self, you'll look at it as though you have accomplished so much. You'll look at it as, I have so many attributes for what I've done. And they'll all be true, because the false self is not a bad self. And the true self? Well, the true self usually sins about seven times a day, because they're out there just trying to be connected with God. But then Thomas Merton said one other thing. He said this, I'd much rather have the sins of the true self than all the attributes of the false self. Because somehow, if I don't know who I am, I won't know who God is. And if I don't know who God is, I won't know who I am. Flypaper brain. That's what I got. It's that rush, that feeling. Feels so good when you get it all done. You know? But really, when I get it all done, what do I've got? An empty schedule for the next day to fill up again. And yet when I get above the crowdedness of my life and I really concentrate on trying to be more in the fullness of God, I get in alignment with the Spirit that says no matter what the details are coming at me are, somehow I'll make it through. How many of you worry about the little details of the things that are ahead for you? You know, I fly out tomorrow to go over to Marsh Harbor. You know what I'm really worried about? I've worked out. No parking is no issue because I'm getting dropped off. Am I going to get my baggage through? Am I going to make the connection that I'm supposed to make in Nassau to get on another plane to get to Marsh Harbor? Am I going to have all those things fall in line? Because I'm only there for 4 days, and if I mess up one day, oh my God, Instead of saying, wait a second, there's an alignment spiritually that somehow I don't have to worry about. What will be, and God is provident in everything. And somehow, if I do my part, God's going to even do more than his part. That somehow, in the midst of it all, somehow I'll know that all I have to do is be present in the moment. And that if I do what I'm supposed to, somehow, even if there's a mistake that takes place, something doesn't work. Well, then I've been put in that place for a reason. Somehow I'm going to have a connection with somebody else that I was meant to have. That God has gotten me into a synchronistic rhythm with him and that I'm right there. God, I wish I could tell you that I'm there. God, I wish you were there. You could teach me. But I'm not necessarily every moment. But you know what? I'm going to really try to. I pray that we all try and get above the crowdedness of our own lives. Guess what? We're beyond Halloween now. Thanksgiving and Christmas are on their way. Oh, great. All the family's going to be there. You think there's no confusion now? Watch out. But you are God's child. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And he wants you to be aligned with his spirit. And he wants you to be present in every moment so that the joy of being together can overcome any of the stress of being in that moment. And that somehow in the midst of it all, God will lead. God will be present. God will give peace, but even more, God will give joy. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.